C.S. Lewis was a great English apologist who wrote numerous very brilliant books defending the truth of the Christian faith. But the books he's probably best known for are the series he wrote for children, The Chronicles of Narnia. He dedicated The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, probably the best known of that series, to his goddaughter Lucy. And in the very front of that book, we read this. "My dear Lucy, I wrote this story for you. But when I began it, I had not realized that girls grow quicker than books. As a result, you are already too old for fairy tales. And by the time it is printed and bound, you will be older still. But someday, you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again. You can then take it down from some upper shelf, dust it, and tell me what you think of it. I shall probably be too deaf to hear and too old to understand a word you say, but I shall still be your affectionate godfather, C.S. Lewis." I've always taken great comfort in those words since I've read these books numerous times as an adult and thoroughly enjoyed them each time. This idea that fairy tales may be written for the young, but can also be appreciated by the old. If you're familiar with the series, you know that the lion in the title is named Aslan, and that he's this allegorical figure who stands for Christ. And at various moments, the four children who are the main characters experience different emotions when they encounter Aslan. Often, in fact, it's kind of this complicated reaction, where at one and the same time they're drawn to him, finding in him this great comfort, a sense of security. And then at the very same time, they're afraid of him. He seems dangerous to them. At one point early on in the story, even before they've ever met Aslan, there's a wonderful encounter between the children and a family of beavers. And when the beavers tell them about Aslan, Lucy, hearing that he's a lion, asks if he is safe. Mr. Beaver, the father of the family, responds, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good." Later, he puts it quite simply, "Aslan is not a tame lion." We gather tonight for this greatest and most noble of all solemnities, the Easter Vigil. In the holy night, this night on which our Lord Jesus Christ rose victorious from death. And here in this great liturgy, we don't have a lion to represent Christ, although that would really be something, wouldn't it? We have instead two other primary symbols of the action of Christ in our lives, symbols that act somewhat like Aslan in these stories. These two symbols are fire and water. The fire is hard to miss. Rather than just a few small flames lit at the altar, tonight we blessed a large fire outside from which our beautiful Paschal candle was lit and eventually our own candles as that flame spread through the church. The water we haven't seen yet. We've heard some reference to it in our readings, but shortly we will draw near to this font full of water that will be blessed, poured over the heads of five elect who are here with us this evening, and then sprinkled over everyone in the congregation. Fire and water. These symbolic elements, they speak on the one hand of comfort, delight, signs of that comfort and delight that the grace of Jesus Christ brings to us. Who doesn't enjoy a cozy hearth on a cold winter's night, or the peace of a candlelit church, or the romance of a candlelit dinner? Or who isn't deeply satisfied by a large glass of ice water after some strenuous work that leaves you parched? Who doesn't find pleasure in a swimming pool on a hot summer day, or in a warm bath when our bodies are tense and sore? Christ's presence in our lives is like these things. In him we find peace and joy and rest. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But there's another side to fire and water, isn't there? Like the lion, they're not always safe. They're not always tame. Fire can burn and destroy, sometimes on a massive level. Ask the people of California, for example. And water, necessary as it is for life, it can also destroy when rivers swell their banks and flood the land. Pharaoh's army sure didn't fare too well in the waters of the Red Sea in our first reading tonight. But you know, this is all part of the symbolism of these elements that figure so prominently here in the Easter Vigil. Because there is something kind of dangerous, we might say, about getting close to Christ. He always works for our good, yes. But that doesn't mean he's always comfortable. His sacred heart is literally consumed with fire, the fire of love. It's a burning furnace of charity. And when Jesus got into Peter's boat, he didn't invite him on a lazy day float trip. He said, put out into the deep water. Nor can we forget the times he allowed the apostles to head out to sea when he knew that a storm was brewing. The three sacraments that will be celebrated tonight, the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion, these sacraments don't just mean dipping our toes in the water of life in Christ or warming our hands at a safe distance from that furnace of charity. These three sacraments, as ancient as the church herself, mean diving deep into the waters, allowing our own hearts to be swallowed up in those flames that consume his own. It means a certain kind of danger, if you will, an adventure. It means stepping out of our comfort zone. It means, yes, even being willing to go with our Lord at times to the cross. Countless holy men and women, those we call saints, can attest to this. Life in Christ led many of them before executioners, who often carried out their martyrdoms in the most barbaric of ways. Others have been impelled out of the comfort of their lives to travel hundreds or thousands of miles to live with and for the poor. Still others found themselves standing before great crowds or people of power despite feeling small and unequipped, speaking truth when it was not easy. Yes, life in Christ, the God of fire and water, the Lion of Judah, to take another title from the scriptures, is not a safe one. He can ask us to do things that those who are not immersed in this life just cannot understand. And we can end up playing the fool in the eyes of the world. So I want to speak a word of warning to everyone here, in a special way to you, our elect and candidates, who in just moments will receive the sacraments of initiation that plunge you headlong into this fire and water. Beware. Aslan is not a tame lion. It's not too late, by the way, for you to walk up the aisle and out the doors if you want. But along with this warning, I want to also speak to you a promise. A promise for all of you and for all of us who have already had the grace of these sacraments in our lives. It's worth it. Plunging headlong into Christ and plunging fully into this church that he himself founded 2,000 years ago and continues to guide despite the flaws and sins of her members. Doing this fills our life with meaning and purpose beyond imagining. And tonight, as we proclaim and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we're given another promise. Not only does life in Christ make our earthly days a great adventure, an adventure that, again, sometimes means a share in his cross, the story always has a happy ending, a glorious ending. And there's not a single saint in the heavenly kingdom who regrets doing some seemingly foolish things or embracing the trials and crosses of this life. Maybe this is why the first words our Lord spoke after his resurrection were, "Do not be afraid." He knew our hesitation to get too close. But tonight, as we celebrate these sacraments, and as these sacraments are renewed for each one of us, he speaks to our hearts. He invites us, "Place your heart into those flames that consume mine. Put out into the deep water. Let us set out together anew on a great adventure, an adventure through fire and through water that will lead to glory and joy beyond our greatest imaginings." Two other elements figure in this Mass, as they do in every Mass, the elements of bread and wine. These elements, though, are not mere symbols of the Lord's life. For when they are brought to this altar and consecrated, they become truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, so much greater than the symbols of fire and water ever could be. He gives himself to us quite literally in the Holy Eucharist to strengthen us, to encourage us, to continue on in this great adventure of life fully immersed in him. He wants to sustain us and to propel us further. I began with C.S. Lewis. I'll conclude with his friend and fellow author J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote one day to his son, "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth." From this most blessed sacrament, may we all draw strength this evening to give ourselves fully to Christ, to put out into deep waters with him, and to journey on this great adventure to the glory that awaits us. St. Patrick, pray for us.